Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast.
Great to be here.
Our mission, as always, is simple. We take a stack of expert sources, we pull out the most important, the most actionable insight.
Yeah, and we deliver that knowledge so you can be well-informed fast.
Exactly. And today, we are tackling one of those, you know, those persistent headaches of international travel, the money dilemma.
Oh, it's a big one. It can really make or break the start of a trip.
It really can. Should you be relying on modern cards? Or is there still a place for, well, the old school security of traveler's checks? We're going to do a deep dive to figure out the absolute best strategy.
Because that moment you land after a long flight, the last thing you want is that awful realization that your money is just a total hassle.
It can completely derail the first 48 hours. But the good news is, all that stress is preventable.
Entirely. But you have to understand the hidden logistics, the stuff happening behind the scenes of your payment method.
And that critical understanding is what we're bringing you today. It's all grounded in expert material, drawn straight from Pitcot's best-selling travel ebooks. This isn't just tips, it's the analytical framework.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this. When we look at the current landscape, I mean, the research is clear that digital just dominates, right?
It does.
But what did the Pitcot sources really emphasize about balancing that convenience with, you know, genuine security?
Well, what's fascinating is that, yes, the sources confirm it. The vast majority of travelers now lean almost exclusively on debit and credit cards. They're convenient. They're widely accepted.
A modern default.
Exactly. But here's the key insight. That digital security isn't automatic. It's a layered system that you, the traveler, have to actually activate.
Right. It's not just the card itself.
Yeah.
The Pitcot material really emphasizes understanding the tech that's built into that little piece of plastic.
We're talking about things like EMV chips, the 3D secure system for online stuff.
Yeah. And think about it this way. If you lose your cash, just physical cash,
yeah,
it's gone. But if your card data gets compromised, modern systems often kick in fraud alerts, like in real time.
And that real time response is absolutely critical. But maybe the biggest safety net, the one that really matters, is the bank's zero liability policy.
Tell us more about that.
Well, most major banks have these strict liability rules. It means that if fraudulent charges do happen, you, the traveler, are protected from losing the actual sum.
That is a massive shift from the old days when losing your money meant, well, losing your money forever.
A huge shift.
But okay, let me push back a bit. Doesn't relying on all this tech introduce its own risks? I mean, if we're carrying multiple cards, aren't we just giving thieves more targets, a bigger attack surface?
That's a really sharp point. But the research suggests that the risk is actually mitigated by diversification, not by consolidating.
So don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. The goal is to always have two separate financial networks. So maybe a Visa and a MasterCard. And you keep them in separate physical locations.
Like one in your wallet, one in the hotel safe.
Precisely. If one card is skimmed or lost, the other network is your immediate backup. But, and this is the crucial planning nugget that trips everyone up.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You have to notify your bank.
The dreaded blocked card.
Yes. That algorithmic trigger that blocks your card the second you try to buy a coffee overseas, that's a standard security feature. It's designed to stop fraud.
But if you don't tell them you're in, say, Budapest.
Then the bank's automated system sees your perfectly legitimate transaction as high-risk behavior, and boom, blocked. And that immediate inconvenience can just sour the whole start of a trip.
Oh, I have felt that pain personally. Standing there, embarrassed, trying to call an 800 number on a foreign SIM card just to prove you are who you say you are.
It turns convenience into a huge logistical headache. Instantly.
It really does. So, okay, beyond security, what about just accessing your money, like cash?
Right. Accessibility. This is where debit cards come in. ATMs are everywhere now. Airports, city centers, hotels. You can get cash almost anywhere.
But this is another one of those areas with hidden costs, isn't it?
Hidden costs, absolutely. We're talking about fees.
Of course.
The sources are very clear on this. They strongly advise travelers to check two things beforehand. First, foreign transaction fees, which are card issuer charges.
And second,
ATM withdrawal limits and network access fees. That's what the local ATM operator charges you.
So you have to plan ahead to avoid that awful scenario where you pay like $20 in fees just to take out $50 of local currency.
Exactly. You're just leaking money at that point. It's about smart travel budgeting, getting beneath that surface level advice.
And some people are even taking this a step further, right? With multi-currency wallets and things like that.
Yes. The really sophisticated travelers are, these digital platforms are basically designed to minimize or completely eliminate those foreign transaction fees. You can hold balances in multiple currencies, which gives you this incredible level of financial agility when you're abroad.
Okay, so debit cards are for cash, but credit
Right.
cards, they're more like your flexibility insurance.
That's a great way to put it. The Pitcott research really highlights that credit transactions don't instantly drain your main checking account.
And that time lag is so valuable.
It's a game changer, especially for big refundable purchases. Think about hotel or rental car holds. They can freeze a huge amount on a debit card for
Right,
days.
tying up your liquid cash.
But a credit card lets those holds happen without affecting your immediate cash flow. So using debit for cash and credit for flexibility, that combination gives you what the sources call priceless peace of mind.
But here's where, for me, it gets really interesting with the card advantage. And it's a point a lot of travelers just miss: the exchange rates.
This is the financial core of why digital is king. It really is.
Explain that.
When you use your card, the transaction goes through a global network like Visa or MasterCard. They use what's called the interbank exchange rate,
The wholesale rate.
the wholesale rate that banks use with each other. And this rate is almost always better than the tourist rate or the street rate you get when you exchange physical cash at an airport kiosk.
So just by using the plastic, you're stretching every single dollar or euro a little bit further, even before you factor in the fees.
Absolutely. Your spending power is maximized. And remember those banks we mentioned that waive foreign transaction fees? They're essentially giving you the wholesale exchange rate with zero markup. So the simple act of paying for something becomes a form of, well, active, efficient budgeting.
That is just such a comprehensive case for the digital option. But to really appreciate how far we've come, we kind of need to compare it to the older way of doing things.
We do.
So before we dive into the history, and let's be honest, the limitations of traveler's checks, if you appreciate this kind of actionable, distilled knowledge, it kind of just makes your life better.
And more efficient.
You should definitely check out the wider Pitcott Library. We pull all this info and so much more from the bestseller ebooks on our store.
The site really is a treasure trove of quick, thorough knowledge for people who love learning.
Visit www.pitcott.com/books to browse and download. And while you're there, check out all the resources at www.pitcott.com.
Okay, so traveler's checks.
The ghost of travel past.
You know, historically, before we had ATMs everywhere in these digital networks, they were genuinely the gold standard.
Right.
They offered two key benefits that cash just couldn't. One, guaranteed replaceability if they were lost or stolen. And two, near universal trust and acceptance at major banks around the world.
They were physical security against the risk of
That's
theft.
what they were.
But the Pitcott sources are clear that today they're basically becoming a historical artifact. So what happened? What changed that made them so obsolete?
Well, it wasn't just the rise of the ATM, it was the economics behind it. The logistical complexity of processing paper checks in a digital world became a massive liability for banks and for merchants.
So every check required manual verification.
Manual signature comparisons, physical accounting, and then this long, expensive process of sending that piece of paper all the way back to the bank that issued it.
So it wasn't just that they were inconvenient for the traveler. They became a low-profit, high-cost nightmare for the businesses that were supposed to accept them.
Precisely. And that lack of incentive for acceptance, that brings us to the core problem today.
Limited acceptance.
Very limited. The research is clear. You might find a major bank in a huge city that still processes them, but many shops, restaurants, hotels, especially if you go a little off the beaten path, they just refuse to take them.
So relying only on travelers' checks today is a major gamble. You could actually risk being stranded.
It's a huge risk. No traveler wants to be holding a piece of valuable paper that nobody will actually take.
And even when you do find a place, the inconvenience factor just shoots way up.
Oh, it's enormous. Cashing traveler's checks is a massive consumer of your vacation time.
You have to hunt for a specific bank or an exchange office.
That hasn't already phased them out. And when you get there, you're often faced with long lines, bureaucratic forms. You have to show two forms of ID.
And navigate the whole transaction, probably through a language barrier.
It's this friction that imposes a real, tangible time cost. You're forced to spend an hour dealing with bank logistics while your friends are already out exploring a cathedral or a market.
It completely interrupts the flow of exploration.
And that time cost is often compounded by financial costs. Even if the check issuer doesn't charge a fee, the bank processing it almost certainly will, and that fee can fluctuate wildly.
Right, so the security you thought you were buying is eroded by all the hassle and the hidden fees just to turn it back into cash.
Exactly. In a world of instant mobile payments, you know, biometric authentication, and banking apps that track your spending in real time, travelers' checks just feel like an antique.
They completely lack any modern features. No instant fraud alerts, no real-time tracking.
And while the sources do acknowledge that, yes, checks can still replace lost money, cards just do that whole process faster. If your card is lost, you can freeze it instantly on an app.
And have a replacement rush to you, or just start using your backup card immediately.
The card system is just engineered for the speed and the demands of 21st century global travel.
So, synthesizing all this, what's the final verdict from the Pitcot sources for our listener?
Okay, so here's the bottom line. For sheer convenience, for superior security, flexible access to both credit and debit, and crucially, for better exchange rates, the digital system of cards is the undisputed winner, hands down.
And travelers' checks.
They're fading away. They're useful only as maybe a niche emergency backup in very specific regions where the digital infrastructure is still unreliable.
That is the actionable takeaway.
That's it.
So carry two separate cards from two different networks, inform your bank about your travel plans before you leave, and then focus on exploring the world, not worrying about where you can cash a piece of paper.
Don't let money stress distract you from the actual adventure.
Exactly.
But if we can connect this to the bigger picture for a second, given our reliance on these instant digital transactions, here's something for you to think about. You've heard the general advice, but every region has its quirks.
Its nuances.
Right. So consider this. What is the one piece of information you need to research about your specific destination today that might challenge the convenience of your primary card?
You mean like finding out if the local subway system only accepts cash?
Exactly that. Or maybe a really specific, obscure regional bank policy on ATM withdrawals that's completely different from the big cities.
Ah, so finding that knowledge gap before you leave.
That's how you go from being a prepared traveler to a truly smart one. So something for you to explore on your own to finalize that planning.
An excellent point. Thank you for listening to the Pitcot podcast.
Thank you.
If you want more distilled, expert-driven knowledge just like this deep dive, check out the full range of resources at www.pitcot.com. I will leave a link in the description below.
You'll find a lot more there.
And if you found this helpful and maybe you feel ready to travel the world worry-free, please press that like button. It really helps the recommendation algorithm so other people can access this too.
It makes a big difference.
And if you haven't yet, subscribe to our channel and make sure you activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Thank you for being there with us.